Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the gift of freedom. We thank you, Lord, that every July 4th, we acknowledge with fanfare the truth of liberty and freedom. Yet we know, Lord, that freedom is never free. And Lord, our freedom came through your sacrifice. But it is a free gift for us. Our freedom in our nation came through people sacrificing during wartime and other times in our history, Lord. And we know that freedom always costs. But for us, the freedom that we're talking about today did not come from our sacrifice, but from yours. And Lord, we pray today that we would be open to receiving the truth that has stood the test of time, the truth that we're going to confess today in Romans chapter 3 in our confession of faith, Lord, that you have given us this faith, have justified us, brought us back to you, made us righteous, and ushered us into the kingdom by your grace, this gift of faith. So Lord, we ask now that you would help us to leave here today able to proclaim with our lips and our lives that we have been set free. And because you set us free, we are free indeed. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, this is, in many ways, the birthday of the Lutheran part of the Christian Church. October 31st, 1517, if you remember, Luther put the 95 Theses on. You laugh because I say you remember. You should remember the date, not that you were there. Some of you, I have questions about that. But you remember the date. That was an important date because October 31st, the night before All Saints Day, All Saints Eve, All Hallows Eve, Martin Luther posted the 95 Theses, really a request to debate the stuff that was happening in the church that needed to be changed. And from there, thanks to the Gutenberg Press, it spread throughout Germany and therefore truly changed the Christian church. Truly changed the church from that day on. And I would like to think it changed the church in a good way, because it brought us back to this wonderful truth that Jesus is proclaiming to the Jews who are following him. If you remember the beginning of John chapter 8, the gospel lesson, it started at verse 31, where it says, those who were following him, those who were believing in him, meaning those who were saying, this is our rabbi. They were religious. They were following Jesus. And that was no small feat, because if you remember how John goes, in John chapter 6, when Jesus said he was the bread of life, many of his followers left him. So much so that he turned around to the 12 and he said, are you still here? He was shocked that they were still here, because in John 6, so many people abandoned him. And then you have the persecution by the Jews, the constant questioning, the constant coming to him and challenging him in John chapter 7 and the beginning of John chapter 8. Jesus is constantly bombarded by the religious people. And so these people have done something pretty amazing in that they have stayed with Jesus. They followed him. They believed in what he was saying. But the interesting thing is Jesus challenges them and he says, if you continue to do what I say, if you continue to follow me, then you are truly my disciples, you will know the truth. This is important. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's awesome, isn't it? This goes back again to John chapter 6, where when Jesus turned to the 12 and said to them, "Are you still here?" Peter said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." So they understood that he was speaking the truth. And what he was saying is, if you continue this truth, you will know this truth, and this truth will set you free. What was the truth? That Jesus is the Messiah. He is the one who is promised. He is the one who will die on the cross. He is the one who will make us right between, will build the bridge between God and man, right? He is the one. He is the one who will bring us back into relationship with God. He is the only one. And, you know, of all those things that they just heard and seen and experienced and followed and continued and done all these things, the only thing they pick up on is the word free. And how many of us growing up have heard the old saying, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. I mean, could you see yourselves in the same position as these disciples? They're going, that sounds way too easy. Right? It doesn't make sense from a worldly point of view. The only thing they pick up on after he says, you will know the truth, meaning Jesus, and the truth will set you free. The only thing they pick up on, they don't pick up on truth. They don't pick up on Jesus. They don't pick up on any of those things that are so important in the preceding verses. What do they pick up on? Free. And I have to confess, I would pick up on that too, because have you ever had anybody come and say, it's free? And what's your first inclination? Yeah, right. Yeah. So much so that, yeah, it's a good word that Brian just shared. We in our Rotary Club, we're giving bikes to the people at Green Baxter Court, which is over off of Plymouth Road. And it was interesting because one of the comments was, we need to actually charge something for the bikes, because if we give people something free, they don't respect it. That sound funny to you? I was kind of shocked, because there was just a discussion, and someone stood up that I have great respect for, that I think is very wise, and he said, you know, even if it was only a few dollars, he said, if they have to pay for it, they will respect it more. And I thought, boy. So isn't it human nature for us to really question when something's free? Like, why is it free? What is expected of me? It's human nature, because of our sin, to be enslaved to the idea that something really can't truly be free. Isn't it? I've tried to give you some examples. Maybe there's better examples out there. Growing up in Canada, I can tell you, I just love it whenever somebody says, oh yeah, care. I'm here to gas up every time you buy something. Every time you pay your taxes, there's nothing, no way that it's, we got to, he can vouch for me. No way it's free. You pay for it. Paid for it in different ways. Free is a hard thing for us. It's just not consistent with our nature, is it? We want to do something in order to earn it, right? Isn't that the way if someone gives us something, don't we want to do something to basically say thank you, or to at least earn something, part of it? We feel obligated, yeah. I've had people say, don't give me anything, then I feel like I have to give you something back. Isn't it funny? And that's why they picked up on the word free. They didn't pick up on Jesus. They didn't pick up on truth. They didn't pick up on all these things. What did they pick up on? What drew their response? Free. And I just love this, and I talk about it all the time, but of all the people that should be saying this, these are the last people on the planet that should be responding the way they respond. If they would have said, well, you know, Jesus, we understand that there's no such thing as free. No such thing as a free lunch. There is here, by the way, when the building's done. You know, they immediately respond like this. But we're Abraham's descendants. And we've never slaves to anyone. Now, those of you who know the Bible and history understand why that's funny, right? Who haven't these people been slaves to? Seriously now. If you read your Bible, where does it start out? Right in Genesis, right? Starts out talking about Joseph and how he brought the people to Egypt. And who enslaves them? The Egyptians, Pharaoh. And the whole book of Exodus is about how God rescues them from that slavery. Then they go into Canaan. And then they get enslaved over and over again. Just to mention a few big ones. What? Assyria. Babylon. We learned about that today in Bible class. Persia. Greece, Rome. Right now, as Jesus is speaking to them, who are they enslaved by? Who are they paying taxes to? The Romans. You understand why that's hilarious? Why it just, you know, every time the pastor has to read that, it's kind of like, you know, you just have to stop yourself from laughing. And isn't that how silly it is when you hear someone say, I just can't buy this thing saved by grace through faith alone. And you just kind of go, ha, ha, ha. You understand that it is consistent with our human nature to want to say, no, I want to do something. It's consistent with our human nature to deny the truth that's right in front of us. And to say like they did, we've never been slaves to anyone. And I like the way Jesus turns this. He doesn't go and say, okay, guys, let's just try this thing out for a second. What about Egypt? What about Assyria? What about Babylon? What about the Greeks? What about the Romans? What about? You know, I mean, he could have spent like an hour. But he doesn't do that. He does something very simple. He says, whoever sins and continues to commit sin, which is who? Everybody. Because we're going to confess today, our confession is going to be from Romans chapter 3, where we get the words that we recognize that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Everyone. And the reason we know that is the wages of sin is. And the last time I checked, now maybe one of you is going to change this, but the last time I checked, everyone has died. Now Elijah had a special thing because he got taken up to heaven by God. Enoch walks with God, and Moses, we don't know where he's buried, but everybody else, all throughout history, has died, except Jesus. Well, he died and rose again, right? Because of our sins. So, we know that the wages of sin is death, so we can say from the evidence what St. Paul said, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God because all die. And it's because of sin that we die. There had been no sin in the world. If the fall had never happened, we would live forever. So we know that it's because of sin that we die. So he's making a point. For everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Because can you honestly say that you've got this all figured out? That you're not sinning anymore? Because as soon as you do that, the sin of pride comes to mind. Right? If I were to stand up here and say, well, I can never do that in front of my family. But if I got, I've got this sin thing mastered. I'm not doing it anymore. You'd all be laughing, right? Good luck. Don't believe in luck. It's just not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Because we, by nature, are sinful. We are. We're born with it, and we live with it all of our life. Does not mean that it's an excuse. That's why there's confession and absolution. I mean, it's not an excuse, but it's the truth, isn't it? We sin and fall short of the glory of God. All of our works are like rags, filthy rags. Even the good works that we think, boy, God should just, you know, pile blessings on us for what we're doing. Compared to His glory, what do they look like? Filthy rags. And yet I'm here to tell you today, even our brothers and sisters in the faith, even Christians today are trying to do this. They're trying to find a way that they can honestly say that they've figured out how to work their way to add to this faith so that they can get to heaven. People say, well, the Reformation was fine. I'm glad it happened way back when. Well, I'm here to tell you, it still needs to happen today. Because it's our human nature that gives us a desire to say, okay, I'm saved by faith, great, thank you very much. Now I have to work my salvation. Because we don't understand free. We live in a country where we talk about freedom and liberty. And we know there's a cost for it. We know that people have died in order that there might be freedom and liberty. That it's always going to be a constant battle. But yet, we have it as a gift. We have it as a gift. The fact that I could stand here today and tell you the truth of Scripture, the gospel, without worrying about someone coming in and arresting us, that's a gift, right? It's a gift. Brothers and sisters, if I was in another country, for example, China, and I wasn't certified by the government and I did this, I could be arrested. This is a gift. So freedom is so important, and I just want to say, you know, we fall prey, and that's why Jesus answered it this way. He didn't just take on those people who were talking about the fact that they weren't enslaved to the Romans and to the Greeks and to the Babylonians and to the Assyrians and to the Persians, to the, you know, on and on. He didn't just take them on. He pointed right back to the root, and he says, anyone who continues to sin is a slave to sin. And then he says something interesting, and even more so, a slave is never. Think about this. A slave is never an heir. You understand what I'm saying here? An heir, meaning the person who inherits the father's stuff. So don't think that you deserve to receive the gift and the inheritance that's yours because you're working it. Because you deserve it. Because he says, as long as you're, this is what he's basically telling these descendants of Abraham, as long as you think you're deserving of it, as long as you think it's your right, as long as you forget the gift, think that it's yours just because of who you are, then you got it wrong. Because it's not a right, it's a gift. And he says, the slave doesn't belong to the family forever. Who belongs to the family forever? The son belongs to the family forever. And so what he's basically saying is, if you want to truly understand freedom, you got to understand grace. You got to understand that word gift. And when you read, when we're going to confess our faith and we're going to use Romans chapter 3, it's going to say, for we are justified freely by grace. Freely. And the word there is actually the Greek word for gift. And it means there's nothing you can do to deserve this. There's nothing you can do to earn it. It's a free gift. It's that simple. And so as we read that, I want you to think about that. Freely means free. And not the world's type of free, but God's type of free. And God's type of free is what he goes on to say, because he says, if you belong to God through the teachings. Remember what he said originally was going to set them free? What did he say originally was going to set them free? The truth. And he's been saying over and over again, if you read John 6, 7, and 8, you're going to see he's over and over again, he is saying who he is. That he is, that him and the, that Jesus and the Father are one. He keeps telling them, and he's going to continue to tell them over and over again, that he is the one whom God has sent, that he is doing things that his Father told him. He goes, keeps reminding them over and over again, this is who I am. This is what I've been called to do. This is what you must partake of. He says in John 6, he says, you must eat bread from heaven. And they go, this bread from heaven? He says, I am the bread from heaven. And they go, Jesus, you're the son of Joseph. We remember you from when you were this high. How can you say you're from heaven? And he says, you don't understand. I've been reading, I used to do my devotions. And I was using the Bible in 1 year study. And I switched when I got this new app. And I thought it was really cool because it does 4 chapters of the Bible. So I've changed now and I'm working through it. And the last 3 days have been the Sermon on the Mount. And one of the things that amazed me about the Sermon on the Mount is Jesus over and over again says, don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing, or your right or left hand know what your right hand is doing. Whatever you do for people and they see it and they praise you for it, you've already received your reward. He keeps saying over and over again, but do this in secret so that the Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Because that's the ultimate reward. Because there's no conditions. It's free. And so, brothers and sisters, my prayer for us today is that we would recognize that all they were, Jesus was asking of them was to know the truth, that he is the Messiah, that he is the one who's come, that he is the one that has promised, that he is the one who's going to redeem them. And to trust in that truth, and they would be set free. And when they put up a fight and say, well, there's no such thing, why do we need free? We can do this on our own. We can, you know, so what? You give us something, and we'll give you something, and we'll partner with you. We'll work together with you, God. And he says, no. He says, as long as you're a slave, you have no right to the inheritance. But when you understand that you are a son or a child of God, and how many of you here chose what family you were born into? I'm not really impressed. None of you? Really? Some of you are going, yeah, but I don't want to put up my hand because then I, you know. None of us. Pardon me? It is, but what I'm talking about is how many of us biologically, you know, before we were born said, I want to be born into this family. Because really, if everything is in our hands, if our lives are in our hands, well, you know, how many of us started out right? If we're arrogant enough to think that we have everything under control, I'm here to tell you, you didn't start out under control. Come and ask Ben. He's sleeping. But you didn't start out under control. It was a gift. Our life is a gift. And so what Jesus is saying is sonship, or being a daughter of God, is a gift. It's a gift by grace. It's freely given. Now what we do with it, with the inheritance we receive, well, that's another story. That's called sanctification. But we're talking about justification. And this battle still rages within the world today. And we are called, as Lutheran Christians, to remind people that we are free not because we deserve it, not because we've worked it out, not because we figured it out, but because we receive the truth and the truth sets us free, and we receive the Son, and the Son sets us free. And when the Son sets us free, because of his death and resurrection, because of his ascension to the right hand of God and his pouring out of the Holy Spirit, when the Son sets us free, we can say we are free. You're not very convinced. Because that is an important word, right? That is a word that does not appear much. And it's interesting because Jesus said, when he said about the truth, he said, if the truth sets you free, if you know the truth will set you free. But he adds this important word, indeed, to make a point. Because if you have trouble with the truth, that's fine. But you got to understand this. The only way that there is true freedom is when the Son sets us free as that gift. And so my prayer is for us, as we confess this wonderful truth from Romans chapter 3 right now, is that when you leave here today, you will with all of your heart and with all of your mind and with all of your being be able to say to anyone who asks, why do you have hope? You say, because the Son has set me free. And when the Son sets me free, I am free. That's a little better. Just think about this. This is a free gift of grace. Not something that we deserve at all. We can do nothing to warrant it. It's the beginning of our journey with God. So when we are confronted by Satan, our flesh, and the world, who say, well, you know, how can you be sure? That was the most amazing thing out of the Reformation, was a sense of certainty that if I trust and respond and receive the grace of God, I can know with certainty and I can be sure that if I die, I'm going to be with the Lord. I have the inheritance promised to me as a child of God. That's one of the most important things. That's why we use the word belong so much in our congregation, because that's what Jesus said. The Son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free. Awesome. If the Son sets us free, we can know, no matter what, that we are free indeed. Amen. Well, let's stand as we confess.